Matthew chapter 5, verse 7. Matthew chapter 5, verse 7. This is God's word. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. Amen. Please be seated. Let us pray. Father, bless the preaching of your word and bless your people who are gathered here to hear your word. And Father, make us pure through your word. And make us pure through the faith that you will increase by hearing of your word. Bless your people that whoever hears, that you will cause that person to be more and more like Jesus Christ. Bless us and receive all the glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We continue to look at the Beatitudes. They are the pictures of the citizens of heaven. They show what it means to be saved. What it means to be saved from this world and sin. They do not tell us to do our best so that we could be this kind of people. No, but they tell us that we are already this kind of people in Jesus Christ. He has made us to be this kind of people. The emphasis is not on what we need to do, but the emphasis is on who we are in Jesus Christ. Not on what we have to do, but on what God has done for us. This, of course, does not mean that what we do is not important. But it means that there is something that is more important. The emphasis is not on how we are to apply the truth in our lives, but on how the truth itself dominates and dictates our lives. The truth that you read in this book is your reality. That is what is true of you. We are already participating in the reality that the truth shows us. It is all about what kind of people our Lord has made us to be. The Beatitudes, we see in them our present spiritual, heavenly reality. Today we're going to look at the verse 7. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. Is this verse saying that we must first be merciful in order for us to receive mercy from God? Is it saying that our being merciful is the prerequisite for receiving God's mercy? Some people believe that. But you already know that that is not what this verse is saying. A similar thing is said in chapter 6 of Matthew, verse 14 through 15. For if you forgive others for their transgressions, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others, then your Father will not forgive your transgressions. Again, is my forgiveness for others a prerequisite for receiving forgiveness from our God? On the surface, it seems like that is what the verse is saying. But you and I, we have been looking at these things so many times. I trusted that at least you know that that is not what that verse is saying. The Bible teaches the salvation by grace and grace alone. So what does then our verse say? Well, let's get some help from other verses. Go to Ephesians chapter 4, verse 32. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 32 says the same thing, but it says it in this way. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving each other, just as God in Christ also has forgiven you. I want you to understand that Ephesians 4:32 is saying the same thing. But here, forgive each other just as God in Christ also has forgiven you. And Colossians chapter 3 verse 13 says, bearing with one another and forgiving each other, whoever has a complaint against anyone, just as Lord forgave you, so also should you. These verses say it more clearly. Our forgiveness for others is according to God's forgiveness for us. We forgive because God forgave. If we do not forgive others to the end, then we witness that God has not truly forgiven our sins. Because if you are truly forgiven by God, then you will forgive. The same principle applies to our verse. God already had mercy upon us. Thus, by being merciful, we witness the reality that God indeed had mercy upon us. By being merciful, we witness that we are the recipients of God's mercy. Just like the other Beatitudes, we have become merciful already by the work of the Holy Spirit in us. Luke chapter 6 verse 36 says, be merciful just as your Father is merciful. Our being merciful is modeled after God being merciful. God's mercy upon us is witnessed through our mercy upon others. The opposite is also true. If we are not merciful at all, then we witness the fact that we never received God's mercy. Because these Beatitudes, all of them describes one person, One person is all of these things. So then, this person who is merciful, he is also poor in spirit. He also mourns for his sins, and he is meek, and he hungers and thirsts for righteousness. Now that kind of person, how can he not be merciful? Thus, those who are not merciful witness that they are not poor in spirit, they do not mourn for their sins, they are not meek, and they do not hunger and thirst for righteousness. This is a package. You cannot say, I only have one or two, but the others I don't have. If you are Christian, then you are these. So person who is truly poor in spirit, who understands that he cannot do anything apart from God's grace, and he sees how sinful he is, so he mourns for his sins. And he is meek. He never boasts. And he hungers and thirsts for righteousness. This kind of person will be merciful. Those who do not forgive sins of others witness that they themselves are not forgiven by God. Because if you are truly forgiven by God and you truly understand what that is, then you cannot not forgive others. That just does not happen. It just shows that that person still does not understand the gospel. Remember, brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ, what we do must flow out from what God has done for us. What we do must flow out from what God has already accomplished for us. If God did not make me that kind of person already, then I cannot do what God is commanding me to do. Simple as that. Every time God commands His people to do something, that means He has already accomplished that reality so that that person is now able to obey. So if God is saying, be merciful, that means He already made you merciful. Otherwise, you cannot do it. So in that command, you see what God has done for you. And I want you to understand this verse in that way. Be merciful. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. God's act is required before I can act. Thus we must understand first who we are in Christ before anything. We must understand what God has done, what God has accomplished first, if we are to obey His commandments. Because if God made me a certain way, and I believe it, then I will act accordingly. If we already receive God's mercy, that is what we confess, and that is what we believe, yes, we did already receive God's mercy. Thus, we must witness that reality by being merciful to others. Otherwise, our religion is false. Otherwise, our religion doesn't make any sense. Go to Matthew chapter 18. Verse 21. Then Peter came and said to him, Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Up to seven times? Jesus said to him, I do not say to you up to seven times, but up to 70 times seven. For this reason, the kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who wishes to settle accounts with his slaves. When he had begun to settle them, one who owed him 10,000 talents was brought to him. But since he did not have the means to repay, his Lord commanded him to be sold along with his wife and children and all that he had, and repayment to be made. So the slave fell to the ground and prostrated himself before him, saying, Have patience with me, and I will repay you everything. And the Lord of that slave felt compassion and released him and forgave him the debt. But the slave went out and found one of his fellow slaves who owed him 100 denarii. And he seized him and began to choke him, saying, Pay back what you owe. So his fellow slave fell to the ground and began to plead with him, saying, Have patience with me, and I will repay you. But he was unwilling, and went and threw him in prison until he should pay back what he had, what was owed. So when his fellow slaves saw what had happened, they were deeply grieved and came and reported to their lord all that had happened. Then summoning him, his lord said to him, You wicked slave, I forgave you all that debt because you pleaded with me. Should you not also have had mercy on your fellow slave in the same way that I had mercy on you? And his lord, moved with anger, handed him over to the torturers until he should repay all that was owed him. My heavenly Father will also do the same to you if each of you does not forgive his brother from your heart. Verse 33, should you not also have had mercy on your fellow slave in the same way that I had mercy on you? God, by telling this story to us, is saying to us that this cannot happen. What happened in this story just cannot happen. This should never happen. How can one not have mercy on his friend when he himself has received so much mercy from God? If you do not have mercy upon others, it just shows that you never receive mercy from God. From all the verses that we have looked at, it is very clear that the Bible is not teaching the Arminian view of salvation. God says this in Romans 9:15, I will have mercy on whom I have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I have compassion. It is up to God. Our verse is not teaching that we need to be merciful first in order for us to receive God's mercy. No, God says, I will have mercy on whom I have mercy. I will have compassion on whom I have compassion. It is not up to us. Maybe this will help. You hear someone say to you, and this is what the Bible says also, believe, then you will be saved. Now on the surface, the sequence is that you believe, then you will be saved. Nothing wrong in saying it like that, but you need to understand what is going on. We believe that we are totally depraved. How can we believe so that we may be saved? We understand that it is God who saves us first. And He's the one who gives us that faith so that we may believe. And yet God says, believe, then you will be saved. And you need to understand this verse that we're looking at in the same manner. You gotta use the whole Bible to understand what God is saying. But it is not wrong to say, believe, then you will be saved. Because it is true. You believe, and you will be saved. Now, being merciful. What is that? Is it turning your head the other way when you see your brother or sister sin? Is that what being merciful is? That even when you see your brother or sister sin, you just kind of turn the other way. Act as if you didn't see it. Because you must have grace upon that person, right? No, that is not what being merciful is. In fact, Galatians chapter 6 verse 1 says, brethren, even if anyone is caught in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, each one looking to yourself, so that you too will not be tempted. Matthew chapter 18 verse 15 says, if your brother sins, go and show him his fault in private. If he listens to you, you have won your brother. So obviously, when you see your brother or sister sins, if you love that brother or sister, you must go and show his sin in private with a spirit of gentleness, not this boastful pride. But you must correct that brother. Otherwise, you do not love that brother. I pray that all of us love one another enough that we will correct each other's sin. That love will be witnessed in this church. I don't want any of you to have this attitude, it's his life, or whatever. If you have received love from God, then you must show that love Otherwise, the principle that we're talking here applies. Maybe you never received love from God. No, that is not true. So this is not an option. You must witness it. You must show. So, let us look at God's example to understand what being merciful is. God's mercy upon us. See, God saw our misery because of sins, and He saves us from that misery. God truly had mercy upon us. Being merciful starts in one's heart, but it must be followed by actions. 1 John chapter 3, verse 17 through 19, but whoever has the world's goods and sees his brother in need and closes his heart against him, how does the love of God abide in him? Little children, let us not love with word or with tongue, but in deed and truth. We will know by this that we are of the truth and will assure our hearts before Him. Do you hear what God says? We will know by this, by loving, having compassion, by put that love in action for your brothers and sisters, by this that we are of the truth and will assure our hearts before God. If we do not love, if we don't have compassion, if we don't have mercy toward your brother or sister in Christ, you must question, what's going on? What is going on? Did I really receive His mercy, His love, His compassion? If so, then how come I don't have these things? No, you did receive all of that. You have those things. And you have to show it. Luke chapter 10. Verse 30. Jesus replied and said, a man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among robbers. And they stripped him and beat him and went away, leaving him half dead. And by chance, a priest, in today's language, I guess a pastor or minister, was going down on that road, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. Likewise, a Levite also, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, who was on a journey, came upon him, and when he saw him, he felt compassion, and came to him and bandaged up his wounds, pouring oil and wine on them. And he put him on his own beast and brought him to an inn and took care of him. On the next day he took out 2 denarii and gave them to the innkeeper and said, take care of him, and whatever more you spend, when I return I will repay you. Which of these three do you think proved to be a neighbor to the man who fell into the robber's hands? And he said, the one who showed mercy toward him. Then Jesus said to him, go and do the same. The one who showed mercy towards him. having mercy. See, first thing that happens is that you see a man or woman, you see your brother or sister in misery. Then second thing happens is what? That you have compassion. And the third, you go and relieve that misery. You do something about it. And you do this even to your enemies. We must be merciful. James chapter 2 verse 13 says, "For judgment will be merciless to one who has shown no mercy." Did you hear that? For judgment will be merciless to those who has shown no mercy. Mercy triumphs over judgment. The world does not know the true misery that the sinful people are in. The world will not acknowledge it. Thus, Romans 1 describes the sinful people who belong to the world, and one description there is they are unmerciful. But you and I, we do not belong to the world. We are merciful. God has made us merciful. We must love one another and forgive one another. We must be gracious to others. And we do this even to our enemies. Because the one who is receiving mercy does not deserve mercy. Otherwise, then it is not mercy. We call it mercy because one who is receiving mercy actually does not deserve that. God has mercy upon us not because we deserve His mercy. Actually, we deserve His eternal punishment. And we must imitate God. We are to be merciful to those who do not deserve our mercy. Thus, we must be merciful even to our enemies. Because that is exactly what our Lord has done for us. We were His enemy. And yet, He had mercy upon us. Brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ, you and I are invited to live this life. Merciful life. You and I are called to live this life. It is a call to be like our Lord Jesus Christ. It is a call to participate in the life of Christ. Jesus is merciful to us. Our salvation is a result of that mercy. He saw our misery in sin, and He had compassion upon us. Do you remember He even wept as He looked at Jerusalem, to which God's judgment is coming? He wept at the death of Lazarus. He sees misery, and He has compassion. He looked at your and my misery and had compassion upon you and me. And to save us from that misery, He came to us as a man. He did not just far away, just having, they look miserable. But He came. He came to do something about it. He came as a man to save us from the judgment of God for our sins. He Himself received the eternal judgment of God for us on that cross. His love for you, His compassion for you, His mercy for you caused Him to do this. He loved us when we were still sinners. He had compassion upon us when we were still His enemies. He had mercy upon us. He had mercy upon us who do not deserve His mercy. God had mercy upon us and forgave all our sins in Jesus Christ. John chapter 3:16, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish, but have eternal life. Even as He was dying on the cross, He had mercy upon those who were crucifying Him. Luke chapter 23, verse 34, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing. And you and I, we are called to be like Him. We are called to live the very life of Jesus Christ. And one example we see in Stephen. As he was being stoned to death for telling the gospel of Jesus Christ in Acts chapter 7. There in verse 60, then falling on his knees, he cried out with a loud voice, Lord, do not hold this sin against them. Having said this, he fell asleep. This is who you are. This is who the citizens of heaven are. All citizens of heaven are this way. And this kind of salvation is given to us. We must have mercy upon all who sin against God, all who sin against us, all who has a hard time believing. Jude verse 22, and have mercy on some who are doubting. Oh Father, we pray. Christ and Heaven OPC, through this church, that God will preach His mercy. We must preach and teach and witness the mercy of God. Mercy that He showed us through Jesus Christ. Brothers and sisters, His mercy must be witnessed through us. That mercy must be witnessed through our church. Psalm 37 verse 21, but the righteous is gracious and gives, or New King James, the righteous shows mercy and gives. Romans 12 verse 8b, he who shows mercy with cheerfulness, be merciful and be cheerful in being merciful. It is a call to be like Lord Jesus Christ. It is a cheerful thing. Psalm 59 verse 16b, yes, I shall joyfully sing of your loving kindness in the morning. Or New King James, yes, I will sing aloud of your mercy in the morning. This is the life that we live every single morning. We get up, we sing loudly His mercy. Hebrews chapter 4 verse 16, therefore let us draw near with confidence to the throne of grace, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. We have received God's mercy, brothers and sisters. And this worship is the proof of it. Without His mercy, you cannot come to God. Just the fact that we are gathered in His presence, it clearly shows that His mercy is upon us. And one day when you and I find ourselves glorified and standing before God, it will be so clearly witnessed that His mercy is upon us. Otherwise, you cannot be there. Even as you worship God in His presence, even as we're gathered in that glorious place, heaven, Brothers and sisters, do you see God having mercy upon you right now? Do you see Him having compassion upon you? And He has mercy upon you. Do you see that reality? That is what is going on right now. Yes, you have sinned. I have sinned. Yes, we deserve His eternal punishment. But see God, who is sitting at His throne in front of you. He loves you. He has compassion for you. And He has mercy. He has forgiven your sins. And He called you righteous. And He accepts you. He receives you. He loves you. We who have received His mercy are gathered to praise His mercy and proclaim His mercy. We have gathered to worship God who is merciful. We witness His mercy upon us by being merciful to one another. Do you see it, brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ? The sinners like you and sinner like me, we are in the presence of God. We came to God with boldness because God has mercy upon you and me. And I pray that all of you and I will see this reality. Our compassionate God, our merciful God. And we are worshiping that God. And we love Him. We love Him because He loved us. Now let us witness Him to the whole world by being merciful as you live your life. Be like God. For God has recreated you, all of you, in the image of His Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, who are merciful. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank You. Thank You for Your love. Thank You for Your compassion. Thank You for Your mercy. Thank You for Your forgiveness of our sins. We thank You that Your mercy has found us. And let us witness that reality by being merciful to one another. Let us witness Christ, who is merciful. Bless us, God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.